John Morosi now joining me on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. John, how you doing?
Great, Lawrence. How are you? For the benefit of our Twitch viewers, I've got my Oak Park River Forest High School baseball hat on. How about this? Go Huskies. I was able to watch one of their games earlier on this season. Thanks to Coach Campbell for sending this along. So I feel like a true Chicagoan here today.
So are these from your peeps that are still here? They hooked you up with this?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm connected now to amateur ball. Of course, I saw Nazareth Academy for a day and got a chance to see Jaden Fowski play there. Great, great player. And then, of course, now I've got this. I've got my guy and stay right in the Midwest. Go to Notre Dame. I get it. But as long as they're playing, that's the important thing.
Yes, I 100% agree with you on that. Let's talk about the Cubs. The Cubs are still in first place in the National League Central, although the Brewers are on their way, and we'll get to them in a minute. This Cubs team didn't have a really good June, but they did get Shota Imanaga back, which is a strong point for them. I'd love to know, when you're looking at the National League and looking specifically at the Central, how you see the Cubs now that you have a half of a season to kind of, as a sample, to look at them.
Still a good lineup, maybe not as dominant as they were early on in the season, Lawrence, but still a good lineup. Phenomenal bullpen, maybe the best in baseball right now based on how they're performing, and a rotation that needs work. That's what I see. Still an above average lineup, phenomenal bullpen, and a rotation that's honestly a work in progress. And actually, I'll be at Wrigley tomorrow, so if you're there, I'll see you.
Right on.
We've got tomorrow is our game on MLB Network, Guardians Cubs, so we're excited about that. So that, of course, that's the national MLB broadcast. As you know, locally you'll watch it on Marquee, but we're sharing the images from Wrigley to the whole baseball world, which is exciting. But I'm curious to see how Horton looks, and I think he's a real swing guy in this rotation, because I'm a believer that they probably need to get one legit impact starter between now and the end of the month if they're really going to win a series, let's say, in the postseason. Because I think they can probably, and I'm saying probably, still win a division without upgrading their rotation. But certainly, I don't see a path for them to winning series without a deeper and better rotation. And the reason why I only say probably, Lawrence, is that the rotation has become a real strength for the team just up the road in Milwaukee. Whether it's Chad Patrick or Mizorowski, who comes in throwing a billion miles an hour, they're feeling good about themselves. And I think that the Cubs had a chance for a brief moment, Lawrence, earlier on in the season to put some real distance between themselves and the Brewers. And it looked that way for a moment.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, Pat Murphy's club and Craig Council's old club got really going again. And so I think the Cubs are in a real battle, and the Brewers have this youth and this energy, and Christian Yelich is playing great, and Bryce Durang is an excellent two-way player. Jackson Churio is a great two-way player. That Brewers team is not going anywhere.
One of the advantages that I feel like the Cubs will have over the Brewers is that the Brewers never really go for it at the trade deadline, and they have a super strong organization that allows them to be competitive and win the division, sometimes even without having to do that. Is there any thought that the Brewers themselves could be a real player in the trade market this year?
You know, it's a great question. They have, I believe, the type of prospects that would allow them to be active, but let's be clear. They won the division last year, and they're still a good team now because they didn't trade Jackson Churio and they didn't trade Bryce Durang. And they brought in players like William Contreras, when that trade opportunity came to them. So that's what I see with them, is that to me, a trade for them, Lawrence, in a strange way, is almost like last year not trading Willy Adames at the deadline, right? Because in some ways, whether it's the Josh Hader trade a couple of years ago or other moves they've made with guys on expiring contracts, Devin Williams, for example, they trade him with 1 year left before free agency. They trade Corbin Burns with 1 year left before free agency. That's the normal procedure for the Brewers. And so you're right. I would say Do I expect them to take a huge swing in the trade market? Probably not. Could I see them bringing back someone like an Adrian Hauser from the White Sox, who was briefly a Brewer, or actually for more than a brief amount of time a Brewer? That's more of the flavor that I could see. Maybe a Herman Marquez from the Rockies. But do I think they'll be the A number one going for the biggest guy out there? No, because that's just not the way they do things. And it's generally speaking, Lawrence, it has been to their benefit. Meanwhile, as we're talking about this, on the flip side of things, the Cubs need to be the Cubs. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean they need to be the big market team in the third largest city in our country and make a massive trade, or at least an impactful one, at the end of July to really address what is their clearest need, which is a legitimate guy to start game one or game two of a postseason series. That's what the Cubs need, and that's exactly the kind of move they should make before July 31st.
Who makes sense for them? Who are the pitchers that you would identify and say, this would be a nice fit for the Cubs?
I think I would start with Sandy Alcantara as being a name that I would watch carefully. And the other name that I would say should be right in the same conversation is Chris Bubich from the Royals. To me, the Royals have trended in the direction of being a more obvious seller. And again, Bubich is the kind of guy, because he's under contract for 2026, or at least for salary arbitration. He's not a free agent. So he's the kind of guy who's going to command a major price tag. That's the kind of guy who's probably going to be outside of the scope of the Brewers, but should not be outside the scope of the Cubs. And that's what I'm seeing there. Now, does that mean that they give up someone like a Ben Brown? Again, you're trying to win right now in a really competitive National League. And if Ben Brown can't help you win Major League games right now, you have to at least consider the possibility of moving him. And again, that'd be a hard thing to do, but I think that's the kind of thing that I would imagine the Cubs have to consider. If he's not on your Major League roster now and you're really going for it, you hired Craig Counsell to go for it. And now you've got a chance to finish ahead of Council's former team and act like a large market team. For me, Chris Bubich would be the announcement that the Cubs are really serious about winning in 2025.
John Morosi joining us here on the Spiegel and Holmes Show. Spiegs went to go pick up Ruben, so I'm landing the plane for the rest of the show and talking baseball with John. Who are the Cubs all-stars from your point of view?
It's a great question. I think that Tucker is for sure for me. Suzuki, yes. PCA, yes. On the pitching side, take anybody out of the bullpen, right? I mean, you could make a case for Palencia if you wanted to. You can make a case for Pomeranz, who's been unbelievable. So there's any number of guys out of the pen. I don't see a starting pitcher being an all-star.
I want Matthew Boyd in that game, John, because yeah, I look at his numbers.
Okay. That's maybe the one. So I would say Matthew Boyd. I'll backtrack. I'll say Boyd is the one guy in the rotation that I could say that you could put in the All-Star game. So I correct myself there. I would say Boyd is the one starter. You could sort of have any variety of relievers that you could make a case for, but probably the three position players with a legitimate shot, I would say, is PCA, Tucker, and Suzuki. And yes, Matthew Boyd, I think he has been one of the best acquisitions that any team has made. And again, you look at this team, and I realize I just said, hey, they got to make a big move. They've made some pretty big moves. PCA acquired in a trade, okay? Tucker acquired in a trade. Palencia acquired in a trade long time ago. Boyd acquired in free agency, a very smart signing. The bullpen almost entirely smart acquisitions from elsewhere. So I realize that the front office of the Cubs has at times been criticized, but there are a lot of fan bases right now, Lawrence, who would love to have a front office, Jed, Carter Hawkins, Andrew Bassett and the group, who have made moves like this that have resulted in some pretty smart acquisitions of impactful guys, including Boyd, who, again, I think is, to your point, a deserving all-star and one of the better dollar-for-dollar starting pitching signings any team made last winter.
John, you covered so many guys that are getting ready to be free agents, and the team that they're on desperately wants to sign him. Here we are with Kyle Tucker, who is having an all-star year. I think he'll finish top five in MVP voting in the National League. obviously Cubs fans and the Cubs organization would like to have him back. How likely is it that he would sign an extension without going to market?
Unlikely. I wouldn't say impossible, but unlikely, which admittedly is what I would have probably said about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. on April 5th before things changed there and he ended up being able to sign long-term there with the Toronto Blue Jays. I would be surprised because now we're almost into the second half of the season. And by the way, you want to talk about one of the great traditions of All-Star Game media coverage, Lawrence, will be in Atlanta. And the reporter from who covers the Braves will step up. The reporter who covers the Giants will step up. The reporter who covers the Yankees. Hey, Kyle, what do you think about Atlanta? What do you think about San Francisco?
What do you think about New Boston?
York? What do you think about Boston? Exactly. So all of these different cities. Okay. So prepare yourself, Chicagoans and Cubs fans, to just, and if you don't want to hear it, just, I don't know, delete X for a couple days around the All-Star game. But you're going to hear your guy getting talked about and linked to every other team. It's just going to happen. Sometimes he leaves and sometimes he stays. Again, this, you want to talk about wind the clock back to last year and Juan Soto and all the same things were said about him. Okay. When he was at the All-Star game, everybody's talking about where he might go. So I think it's important to brace yourself, but also not give it too much credence, and yet realize at the same time that usually when a major free agent name gets to July the 2nd and is having an MVP year and he doesn't have an extension, he usually goes to free agency. And at that point in time, it's anybody's guess, right? It's, you know, Juan Soto loved the Yankees until he didn't.
Yep.
And so it's impossible to guess where things could go. But I do think that Kyle Tucker, there's a pretty strong chance that he will be a free agent in November.
Inside the studio, I've got a couple TVs going, and one of them's on MLB Network. And they had flashed the wild card standings, and there are the Tampa Bay Rays. John, what is the contingency for the Rays making the playoffs and having home playoff games?
We don't know yet. And Ken Rosenthal's reported on this a bit in recent weeks. MLB is certainly aware of it. The players there are aware of it. I think this is where it becomes interesting, right, Lawrence? Because they've got a bit of a home field advantage. They've played really well. And they're in the conversation there for a postseason berth. Outdoor baseball in Tampa, it'd actually be a beautiful environment, I think, in October, in terms of the weather. Now, the weather, that's what I'm saying here. The seating is a challenge. Now, could you bring in temporary seating? How would that look? We played, all I know, Lawrence, is we played a Major League Baseball game in the middle of a cornfield. We've played a Major League Baseball game on a U.S. military installation in North Carolina that I was at. We have been to a lot of different places.
The Rickwood game, we've had that too.
Yes, exactly. Move it to Rickwood. That'd be a great idea. So there's a lot of different ways that this could go. And I don't love the notion of moving it to Miami. I wouldn't love that. But the reason beyond just the fans here and wanting people to experience playoff baseball is this makes a real impact on a couple things. Number one, the postseason shares, right? Playoff revenue, ticket revenue is then shared between the owners and the players. And so eventually the players are saying, wait a minute, if you can sell three times as many seats somewhere else, that's money that eventually will get to us, and we want you to sell those seats as opposed to selling it in a smaller venue. The other piece is, and Ken wrote about this, is that playoff tickets, the deeper you go in the playoffs, tend to have a higher and higher percentage that go to sponsors, MLB-adjacent people, networks, et cetera, that all of a sudden the true fans get a little bit of a less of an opportunity to buy those seats. And so that to me, Lawrence, is a real question, and I don't have an answer right now. But there, and we may have to wait and see where it all lands. But the Rays have a lot of very loyal fans that you would hope can drive to be able to watch this team play. But under the circumstances, temporary stands, I don't know, play it across the street at Raymond James. I don't know. That probably not that option, Lawrence, but I'm open to any idea that allows fans to enjoy playoff baseball.
I want the games in Montreal. That's where
I do too. I do too.
That would be dope. John, thanks for joining me, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Lawrence. Happy 4th, and go Huskies here as well. Thank you.